So in the very beginning, we see in Genesis, with second generation, you know, we got Adam and Eve. You've heard of them, and they had a couple kids, and they didn't get along too good. Surprise, surprise, right? We got that fixed now, right? We all get along, right, Sue? You get along with your sisters? Yeah. Do you? I wish we, oh, you know, you're like a rarity, you know, what do they call it? You're like a coelacanth. You're one in a million. They didn't know they existed, and they found them. Remember that big weird fish? You ever see that thing? Scary. It's like 7 billion years old. So when the second generation, what's the first thing they do? Well, after they get done killing each other. So what happens is Cain goes out and he makes a city. You know, these are pastoral people, and they're living out in the country, right in the desert. When they left the garden, the first thing they do is build a city, build a community. And this is important. So we see what happens in cities. You know, people gather there. We like them. You ever been to New York City or the big city of Elkton? They're not the same. I've been to New York City. It's amazing. Some people say they don't like it. I was there. It's big. And I've worked construction a long time, and I look around and go, how long did this take to build? This is crazy. They built the thing, and they said, you know what? We need to go underground. Then they had to, like, go underground and build these big tunnels, and it's amazing. And then they took all that dirt, and they threw it off the island and made more places to live. They're actually buildings on top of the rubble from underneath where the subway was built. And it's amazing. And if you don't like the restaurant in front of you, walk two more steps, and there's, like, 50 more. And then the next block and the next block and people everywhere. And some people say, I don't like people. I say, what's wrong with you? What do you mean you don't like crowds? These are people like you. What do you think, you're going to have New York City to yourself? You're going to go up there and Broadway's all yours. You're the only one with tickets to see Mamma Mia. No, there's going to be other people who want to be there. And I don't mind. We go to Rehoboth all the time, and it's crowded. They get 3 million people there, right? In that little place, not including Bethany and Lewis, but 3 million there in a year. And I think it's great because we have our own little place. We have our own little spot. And you can share French fries with the seagulls, you know, and everybody. And so they built the city, and everyone comes to the city for protection and for, so there you can bring your, you can commerce and you can live there, and it's a great place. And but we see they start to fall apart quickly, right? The people, they build this city called Babel, and there they want to build a tower to God and say, look what we can do. And God says, oh no, 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 you don't build something to glorify yourself. You build to glorify me, I'm going to mess it up. And so he gives them different languages. They can't understand each other, and so they disperse over the earth. And that's a good explanation for how things happen, isn't it? We know that people did leave this area, this cradle of civilization that the Bible tells us about. So they leave. Another city we see is a place called, we see cities such as Sodom and Gomorrah. And here, and this is not that talk today, okay? Anyway. There in Genesis 14, where there's all these cities there, Sodom and Gomorrah and Abnab and Zeboiim and king of Bela, there's all these cities. And what happens is they start to fight one another. And these five kings come against, and they steal Abraham's nephew. Abraham says, I'm having none of that. He sends his 319 men he's got. You know he has 319 fighting men in his family? We always think of the old Bible stories and Abraham and Sarah and these two old people just walking around the dirt, the desert, and the rocks. You don't see the 300 people he's got behind, and their wives, and their children, and their goats, and their donkeys. They're so big, they got to separate, right? They're like a whole city moving on their own. And so the kings attack the other kings, and Abraham's to the rescue, right, to rescue his son. And there we see the king of Sodom come by, and he's grateful for what's been done. So he wants to give Abraham a whole bunch of stuff. And Abraham says, no, I don't want it. Give it to somebody else. You're not going to make me rich. And then there comes this mysterious figure named Melchizedek. And he's the king of Salem. And the name Salem, it's the same as Shalom, and it means peace. And you know what happens to Salem? It becomes Jerusalem, which means the foundation of peace. And so he's a priest and he's a king, he's both. And he blesses Abraham for what he's done for freeing the city. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, who is the creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to the God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave him the tenth of everything he owned. He tithed. So here we have this king, this priest. Usually priests and kings aren't the same, right? The king is anointed by God and the priest brings people to God. But he's both in this city called Salem. We're going to catch up to this in Luke 13. I got 10 more minutes to put this all together. So we see the city's important. It's a place to gather. And of course, we know that those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, were destroyed because there weren't 10 good people there. Not even 10. If you can find 10, we'll save it. But there wasn't. We see the city of Jericho there in Joshua chapter 6 and the gates of Jericho. They had been there for 400 years. What's the oldest city in the world? Guess. Jericho is the oldest one. Continuous living city in the world is Jericho. And so there at Jericho, the people are boarded up. Here comes God's people. They're coming back. The people of Jericho, they have the worship of Baal. And they have the worship of Molech. They're in the child sacrifice. And this is a bad people. And God says, you have 400 years to change your ways. That's pretty generous. If not, I will send judgment. And he sends his judgment. He sends the Israelites. And they go up there against Jericho. You know the story. They walk around it 7 times, play the trumpets. The walls come tumbling down. So the city's destroyed. And it's cursed. It's rebuilt later. We see Jesus cruise through it. And when he heals, when he sees Zacchaeus, and heals Bartimaeus, the blind man. We see Jonah in Nineveh. Nineveh is a corrupt city, and so God sends his reluctant prophet there, right, to save the city, and when he gets there, they do repent, don't they? They are saved. That city is saved. Later on, it is destroyed because they turned away, and you can still go back to Nineveh. Do you know that? It's still there. Anybody know what city it's near in Iraq? It's near Mosul. The city of Mosul, I Google everything. So you go, you see the restaurants, what time they're open. They got baklava on Fridays at this little restaurant. And then you can go see Nineveh, the gate's right there. It's still there, Fran. It's not a myth. It's not a fable. It's true. It's still there. We see Jerusalem. God says, I'm going to let the Assyrians and the Babylonians destroy you if you don't listen to me. And there we see it in 587 BC. Old Nebuchadnezzar II comes by and lays siege to Jerusalem and it's destroyed. And then we turn the page. The city's important. We see 13, like we taught the kids. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, that city. And he says, you know what the kingdom's like, everybody? What shall I compare it to? I love it. It sounds like Shakespeare, doesn't it? What is the kingdom of God like, and how shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and he planted in his garden. And it's tiny, isn't it? But it grew and became a tree. And I had to look this up. And I know way too much about mustard trees. Because I was trying to figure out where they get mustard from. And it comes from the flowers. And they take the seeds and they grind it up. And that's where you get mustard. Mayonnaise is different. It's eggs and oil, right? That's from France. So anyway, it's a mustard seed. And it becomes this big, beautiful tree. And what should I compare it to? It's like a yeast that a woman works into dough and it goes everywhere and it makes the dough rise. Then Jesus went through the towns and his villages and he's moving from the country to the city. He's going somewhere and he has to be there. He's got a purpose, a mission, a statement. And someone said, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? And Jesus says, listen, make every effort to enter through the narrow door because many, I tell you, will try to enter and they won't be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and he closes the door, you'll stand outside knocking and pleading and saying, sir, open the door for us. We've seen this story before with Jesus and the 10 bridesmaids, right? They go looking for oil. They should have been ready. They should have been waiting. And they weren't, so they weren't allowed in. And Jesus will say, I don't know you. He's going to know me. He's going to know you, right? Right, Terry? Does he know you? He knows me. I'm assured of this. I believe in blessed assurance. I'm going. That's where I'm going. My friend Bob's going. I'm going. We'll see each other there. We ate and drank with you, and we taught in your streets. And he says, I don't know you, Jesus says. And at that time, Jesus is getting ready to head to Jerusalem. He's not quite there yet. This is in chapter 13 of the book of Luke. I like the story better in Luke 20 when he's there, and he's sitting on the Olivet mountainside and he's pointing at Jerusalem. But that's a story for another day. This is when he's on his way there. So here at verse 31. And at that time, some Pharisees came to visit Jesus. And they said to him, leave this place and go somewhere else because Herod wants to kill you. Jesus replied, you go tell that fox. I will keep driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I'll reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. Jesus cries this lament. This is so sweet what he says. You hear the words. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and you stone those who sent you, how often have I longed to gather you together like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. He says the name twice, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He says it there in Luke chapter 10 when he says to Martha, when she's trying to get the house in order, Mary's worshiping, and she says, Martha, Martha. When Peter turns away and he knows that the devil's come into Peter, he says, Simon, Simon, the devil has sifted you like wheat, but listen, we're going to make things right. The double use of the word is so sweet. We never say that around our own homes, do we? I never say, Amanda, Amanda, I love you so much. I'm going to start. We better. All right, Paula, Paula. All right. This is sweet, isn't it? He wants to gather them together. And what's the purpose of the Pharisees? They've had enough of them, haven't they? Are they honest? Does Herod really want to kill them? We see he does go before Herod later on after Pilate kicks him out, right? Because Pilate doesn't want to try him. He sends him over to Herod. And Herod's like, I don't find anything guilty about this guy. Could you do a trick while you're here? Do one of those little miracles, you know? Turn water into wine, walk across my swimming pool. Do something cool. And he won't do it, and he says, get out of here. So really, it's a ploy, isn't it? They're being a little dishonest, aren't they? Jesus, you better run, because really what they're affecting is us. Because when we go to Jerusalem, and one of us is causing a ruckus here, and the Romans are here because it's the Passover, and things are all coming to a head, and it's hot, and everyone's sweaty, and you got crazy Barabbas running around and causing trouble, would you just mind leaving? Would you? It's a nice offer, isn't it? Go ahead and go somewhere else. No. You go tell that fox. The fox, we know the story, the fox and the hen from Aesop, right? The hen lands in the tree, and the fox comes up to the tree. And what's he say? Come on down. Everyone's decided to get along. Why don't you come on down, hen? We've all decided we're not going to fight anymore. And what's the hen say? Hey, I see a couple dogs in the distance coming up. Why don't we get along with them? The fox goes, whoa, I got to go. I got things to do. I got to go to Costco, right? So he runs off. It's a trick, isn't it? The fox thinks he's smart, but he's outsmarted by Jesus. Jesus says, no, you go tell the fox. I got things to do. I still got a purpose here. I got a healing. I'm going to drive out demons. The third day, be lifted up again. We're not done yet. We don't tell Jesus what to do. So anyway, I'm plumbing, right? I'm coming down there. I'm going to talk to you down here. So you can see the legs. I know that's what you came for. All chickeny and varicose and... Remember when I was young? Remember when we were young, Kim? We were growing old together. It's kind of cool, isn't it? No. But we are growing old together. So there I am under the sink at a friend's, and you know, I was working on my brother's house, but down at Hart's, a friend Tom, his daughter is like 27, she's going to get married, and she has her own house, so she calls me up when there's problems, and we go there, and I fix them, and you know, she's not like a client, you know, I don't really charge her, because it's like one of my kids, you know, I just go fix the thing, and she pays for parts, and so we're talking, and I'm under the sink, and she's up on top of the sink holding it, the faucet, so I got to tighten underneath, And so we're talking. She's like, I don't go to church anymore. I said, I understand. She goes, I just don't fit in anywhere. And I said, I get it. I was away from church for 20 years until Josie Poteet called me and said, come. Don't stand there. What are you doing? Hanging out by yourself on a Sunday. Come and meet this guy named Jim Jones. He's really neat. You might like him. I did. I kind of liked him. I loved him. Changed my life. Made me do this. And so I said, I understand. I didn't go to church for 20 years. And she goes, my fiance doesn't want to go to church either. I said, I get it. And she's mad at God because God, you know, took his parents at a young age. And I said, I understand. And I said, God, you can be mad at God all you want. God's got thick skin. He's okay with it. You can be mad. You can be angry. We've seen Job do that, right? Scream at God. I want an advocate. I want someone to help me. I want, wait till I see God, Job says, face to face. I'll show him, right? And what does Job do when he gets in front of God? He doesn't say a thing, does he? That's what's going to be us. My friend Kay was mad at God, took her husband too young. Wait, get in front of God and give him a piece of your mind. You're not going to say a thing. You're going to be on your knees. You're going to be grateful. It's going to be different, right? It's going to make it all new. The question is, do you believe it? And so here we are, we're talking. I said, it's okay. And, you know, there's plenty of churches. I got home, I started talking to Amanda. You know, it's like I was on the spot, and I failed to tell her what I really thought. The good news is the sink is still leaking. I get to go tomorrow, Fran. And she's going to get it. In love, in patience, in sincerity. Jesus, see, we live in the countryside. You know when he's up on the mountain Transfiguration, and there he was, and he was with his father, and he's with his friends, and it's a nice place to be. But it ends, doesn't it? You got to go down. You can't be pastoral. You can't live out in the countryside. You got to go to the city, and that's where he's going to face his destiny. That's where everyone comes. That's where the word's going to get out, what Jesus is doing. You got to go to the city. That's where the people are. That's where his destiny is. You got to go to church. That's where the people are. That's what she has. She has to go. Because, not for her, but there's someone there, needs somebody about 26 years old to talk to her. Maybe who's broken and hurting and needs someone like her. And that's what she can do. It's not about her. And bring the husband, because he may change. He may see a preacher that wears a kilt and is awesome, you know. There's probably more than one. You got to go. You're called to go to the city. You're called to go to the church. Hebrews 10:25 says, what does it say? Ooh. It says, let's not forget meeting together. Let's not forget coming together. Until the day Jesus comes back, he says, we got to keep meeting. Does it say anywhere in the Bible you got to go to church? It sure does. People will tell you it doesn't. Hebrews 10:25. You remember when I stuck it in the cracker? Were you there that day? I made 300, Amanda, and I made 300 fortune cookies, and we stuck our favorite Bible verse. And I got to do my first sermon and gave everybody a fortune cookie with Hebrews 10:25 in it. Then I realized you can buy those. You don't have to make your own, because it's like you got this old, and it's hot. You got to, what's it called? Dropping while it's hot or whatever it is. You got a woman working and burning yourself, and she's on a Saturday night, fun with me, right? It says there in Revelation, there's a new city coming. It's the city of God coming down. We have our friends. They're hurting. They're dying. We see all these horrible things happening to our friends that we love. And where are they? They're in the great city. They're in heaven. And it's coming one day. It's going to come down from heaven in that time. We don't know when it's coming. Jesus says, so you better be ready. We better be ready each and every day for that day to come. The new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, peace on earth for 1,000 years, which means forever. 1,000 years of peace. And what's that going to look like? Watching these college students talk about, they don't want to be in heaven because what's it like praising God? Who wants to do that? Who wants to sing all day? We do, don't we, us in the choir? We can't wait till we're changed and our voices are perfect. Yours is perfect, but wait till I get the perfect voice and the new body and we're seeing our Father face to face. The one who saved us, the reason we're there. We get to see all those relatives again. I'll get to see Mom. Can't wait to see my mom. I really can't. It's going to be a day. What a day that's going to be. And you all know someone there, don't you? We yearn for this. And there's a world out there that doesn't know anything about this. And my dear friend, what are you going to do on Sundays, you know? And I don't want to pressure her, but I just want to tell her what I feel. What is it? We need to be in the church. Jesus was in the countryside enjoying himself with his disciples, where it was peaceful, sort of. But he went to the church, to the city, and there he was crucified. And there his friends left him. And there it really happened. And there he was hung to die. And there he rose again. And we believe in him, and we will rise again. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the city. We need to go there to be with people. People made in your image, people that we don't know and that we can love them anyway. They will see who you are. By the way, we love them. They will see you through us. And we will show them, here's the word. Read it. Read it for yourself and discover what Jesus says. What a love. What an amazing love. So we thank you, Father, for this time together, this brief hour of prayer and of singing songs of praise to you, of looking each other in the eye, knowing, seeing the love we have in this church, this wonderful place we call home. We thank you, Father. We thank you in the name of the Son, Jesus, who is Lord, and through the Spirit, who gathers us in his arms today. And we say, amen.